Hallelujah. Amen. I saw somebody from the altar, Pastor Chika Undu. Come now. He was our youth leader here, became the pastor of Ketu Church, moved to Jigawa for his NYSC, and has refused to come back. Come and greet the church and tell us what you are doing in Jigawa. Can we put our hands together for bringing our brother?
Children of God, good morning. If you are happy, put your hands together for Jesus again. Actually, Daddy, it's Kebbi State.
Oh, Kebbi, sorry, not Jigawa. Kebbi.
I went to Kebbi, northwest of Nigeria, just after Sokoto State. I actually went there to serve. I was called to serve late last year, and I was surprised and I was baffled. I wasn't expecting such a place to be posted in such a place. I have not been to that part of the north before, and I was wondering how was I able to cope with it. But on getting there, God was so merciful. God saw me through. All in all, God saw me through. Now, in addition to that, I didn't only go there to serve. God did something wonderful there. You know, there are things you don't expect God to do. There are places you don't expect God to lead you. I never believed that for one day I will go and preach to a Fulani Muslim and he will listen to the gospel, go on his knees, and I'll pray for him.
Put your hands together now. Hey!
Now, you may be surprised. That is just an aspect. We call it Operation Nicodemus. There are Muslims who wouldn't want to show it outwardly. They meet you secretly for prayers. It happens in the north. Then there are places whereby the gospel has not even gotten there. Islam hasn't been there. Christianity has not gotten there. They are still naked. They still wear beads and amulets. And so they exist. You think probably maybe the gospel has gotten to every part of Nigeria. That is not the case. There are remote places in these areas that probably have not even heard the gospel. Some of them don't even speak the Hausa language. They have their own indigenous language. I was able to meet with one of the pastors there, Pastor Oscar Michina. He was the vehicle through which God used in realizing that about 13 mission fields have been established. And I was telling him that, look, people down south will have to hear about this. I will have to come down south, meet with Daddy, and then relay the news to him. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Now, it is not everybody that would want to wake up one morning, gather his things, and move up north to preach the gospel. If you are led by God, God will see you through from the beginning to the end. We have our quarterly missionary work with March, June, September, and December. So my responsibility there is to go there and establish them. It's we've spread the message there. The overseer had done that, and I told him, this is my position about the end time message. I am an end time message minister. This is what I believe in. This is my stand about the Godhead.
That's right.
This is my stand about water baptism. And the pastor himself, being a former Ekanka member, being a former Amok member, he's an Igbo man. After which he then converted to Islam. He was an Igbo Muslim from Nsukka, Enugu State. He was able to rapport with the Muslims there. After which God arrested him, and then he became a Christian. He attended MFM, and then God told him to leave that ministry. That God wants to use him to reach to places that have been unreached. The places where nobody had laid any foundation of the gospel. And how was I able to meet him? It was just through prayers. I was just logging onto the website and I was able to see his blog. I called him and then he communicated back to me. We met and we discussed at length. He said, please, Pastor Chika, take this back to Lagos. Take this back, meet the overseer of the Bride Assembly and relate these stories to him. That there are people who are in dire need of the gospel.
You can see them on the screen.
There are people who are in dire need of the gospel. They've not heard anything about the gospel.
Much.
There is nothing like Islam there. There is nothing like Christianity there. They were naked, but it has been edited. So that you wouldn't see those. You know, it has been edited. As at this time, clothes have been given to them to wear. And so we've been able to reach out to them, and we are still reaching out to them. This is one of the things, you know, I have been doing there in the north with the ministry over there. The name of the ministry is Christ Reconciliation and Deliverance Ministry. The man himself is a non-denominational minister. And so it was easier for him to accept what I was telling him. Having a background of various religions, he said, okay, this is your stand about the God. And I said, yes, I believe in one spirit made manifest in three offices. And I believe that if you are going to baptize these people, because so far we've not been able to baptize them. In some cases, there are places where you can't even get water there. The place is near the Sahel, Niger region. You are not able to get water. So, but we are hoping that in the next missionary journey, we'll be able to get a means whereby we can get water and we'll baptize this. But I've made it clear to him, if I am going to go there and establish, the baptism will be done in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Can we clap our hands now? Thank you very much. God bless you. We will see you. We'll talk. I just saw him from the altar. I didn't know he was around. Praise the Lord. Brother Abraham, one time he was given a testimony. He said he was known to be a preacher. Then he went to a Pentecostal minister was holding a crusade. And on top of the altar, the man was vibrating, shaking, quoting scripture, and demonstrating fire brown. You know, Brother Abraham is soft spoken. And then, when Brother Abraham looked at that man, he said, child, a preacher with this one. Then, somebody tapped Brother Abraham. I think you are a preacher now. He said, no, I'm not a preacher. With this one, I now know I am not a preacher. So all of us, we say we'll be minister. Now we're going to say we'll be minister. KB. Now you can see who be minister now. As the brother they talk, I say, chai. I hope I have a calling. Because now this one be called. Hallelujah. You know, he's not going there for tithe and offering. Eh? So there is nobody to charge there for prayer. You understand? What they are looking for is their soul. Now that one be minister. Let's clap hand for this minister now. Everybody. Amen. God call me. They see the ministry here. They God call me. Oh, God call everybody now for Lagos. That is what I used to rate all of them. Pastor, the Lord said I should leave and start my own. Start where? From Wushi, for Jawa Estate, for Gate. How do you call this place? Jakonde Gate. Eh? Praise the Lord. So what we are doing here never cover Lagos. Even if there were a remote part of Ikorodu, that is understandable. Or Aja, where it's too far to come here. You then here with us, say God call you. Why you not go your village? Why you not go Maiduguri? Why you not go Kano? We know why. Because I have a text here that I received from one brother, Henry. He used to be here with us. He was a former coordinator here. I think he's now in Ghana or so. Sir, I have been worried and asking questions in prayer. Why all the ministers who left Brother Assembly are doing so poorly? He said, except Brother Nonso, who I know spiritually mixed his ministry with carnality and worldly pleasures. Is it that the foundation is wrong, or they are not called, or they are in transgression and serving mammon? They don't even have the message. It's a terrible situation. If I were them, God forbid I should, I would have, like a prodigal son, returned to my spiritual father, Pastor Alu, and asked for mercy. He says, Shalom, Brother Henry, ex-coordinator. And what he's saying is the truth. What he is saying is the truth. There are people who come here, and the reason why they are here is not what you think or you see. Do you know that I am even told that there are certain things I am preaching here, that there are some ministers sitting down on their seats that will be countering it? I don't know they're talking. Or after service, they will approach some other people and tell them, that's the way that man they talk. Now you know they talk. Now you know where they come from. I know how God called me, and so I deserve him. Then why are you serving him here? Two cannot work together except they agree. You see? I called John Paul 2 days ago, and what I was hearing, I stood here and I have made a statement, and I'll continue to say it because it is going to stand as a standard. When we are ministers, a pastor is a standard bearer. I know my responsibility as a pastor, not just a minister, but a pastor, a shepherd. I am a standard bearer, and I am supposed to set a standard for others to follow. I know that's a responsibility. That's why I check everything that I do, knowing that somebody is going to follow what I am doing. I am setting a pattern for others to follow, and God will judge me for what pattern I have set up. And I say here, there is what we call ministerial ethics. There is ministerial ethics. There are things that a minister of God should not do. It is called ministerial ethics. In the military, there are things that a military commissioned officer should not do. It is called officer-like qualities. And so also, there is what you call leadership qualities. You are a leader because you have a followership. So you lead for others to follow. Once you occupy the position of a minister, you are a standard bearer. You have people following you. It's very important. Leaders of groups, leaders, you know, heads of departments, we are standard bearers. And so, I say certain things to set a standard. I say it for people to use it also to judge others. I have said it here. This church is 17 years old. I have been saying it here. It is wrong for any minister of God to charge someone directly or indirectly to pray for you. It is also wrong for a minister of God. In this ministry, I am responsible for this ministry. So I talk for this ministry. This is the standard for this ministry. That you don't begin to do selective ministry. You have people that are special. You visit them in their houses, you pray for them in their houses, and others don't even have access to you on phone. It is wrong. It is not part of the ministry of Jesus Christ. It is wrong. Very wrong. It is wrong to even joke with words like, we don't pray for you now, we don't see you again, no. Don't better for you now, we don't see you again. That is a wrong statement. It is wrong. It is begging with style. Now you bless him. Now you be in God. Now you pray to. If I pray for you, you remember me. Fine. If you don't remember me, all glory goes to God. If you don't remember me, another person will remember me. Therefore, I should not use it to judge you. I shouldn't. And I said it here again. Let any sister here, since this church started, say directly or indirectly, I have made any pass at you. Directly or indirectly. And every minister in this church should be able to say this, or shame on you. You are not yet ready for leadership. That's the truth. I have said since this church started for 17 years, I have never approached a church member to say, I have this need, help me. You don't do that. It's against ministerial ethics. It's against it. I have spoken it. I have said it several times. I was talking with Pastor Tom. I have to address it openly like this because it is now a warfare for all of us. You know what we stand for, so that when they come to you, you know they are going against a set standard. It's true. And we had a meeting. Not all the ministers do that. As I'm saying now, some ministers, they think they pay them because you are tarnishing that group they belong to. But I'm telling you, they do it up to 2 days ago. Somebody is meeting someone and saying he's a minister in this church and that he is sick and that he needs 100-something thousand naira for treatment. And then I am telling that person, but this brother has never come to me, the pastor, to say you are sick, looking for prayers. And why will a minister in this church be sick and will not attend to him when we have 3 hospitals for retainership where our workers, if they are sick, the nearest one to your house, you go there, they send the bill to the church. Why will you now go and do that? Another minister said that I was asking somebody to give him money for accommodation. When we had just given him 250,000 naira for his accommodation, and it is given to him every year. It is wrong. You are painting an image that we are not taking care of our ministers. There is no church in this whole world that takes care of their ministers like this church does. I'm telling you, that is the truth. It is wrong. It is wrong for us to harass people with our problems. It is wrong. Even I say against ministerial ethics. How will you that expect me to pray for you to have breakthrough? Then you come to me, then I tell you, me myself, now poverty, they worry me. Will you have faith for me to pray for you? That is why I say it's against ministerial ethics. You don't tell a church member your problem. It's against ministerial ethics. Praise the Lord. See, let me tell you. I have told you. I say, anybody, there is nobody that is more benevolent than me in this church. I don't think so. I can pluck my eye to give somebody in position to do it. So, don't you ever think that if I stop people from being blessed. I don't. I am happy when you are being blessed. Now, if that blessing is clean, then, and I am your father here in the Lord. Now, how will you feel you are a father? I was sharing with Pastor Thomas. I say, how will you feel? I have a son. Then suddenly, I see him with something, maybe a car. And then he doesn't tell me how he got the car. Something is wrong. He should be able to come, daddy, so-so-so man, so-so-so person has given me this. And you will come with that person for me to appreciate him. On your behalf, you have blessed my son. I will bless you. Now, the order in this church is, hey, daddy, just by the way, somebody don't dash me motor. Who be the person? I don't know. Bring the person for me to see. I don't know. You can't bring the person. Because some of them know, if you bring that person, and the person gets to know me, see, I am easy to see. Now then they tell you, say, not easy to see me. My phone number is everywhere. Call me 24 hours. You don't get me. Send me text. I want to see you. I will see you. And don't give anybody money to bring to the church on your behalf. Why are you doing that? You don't know our account number. Even if the promise they give you, say, bring money for building fund. Don't give it to anybody. How will you know whether the person gave it or not? Don't do that. Go and drop it at the altar. So who will pick it after you are gone? Stop all this thing that a lot of people have come in here. How do we know? When they live here, see what they have set up. They were never part of us. Everything we stand for here, it go contrary. So I told Pastor Thomas, I said, we don't have a family setting here. I said, no family setting. If somebody dash me 50,000 naira, Pastor Thomas, I call you. I say, somebody gave me this. Every gift they give me, I tell you. It's something for you to rejoice now. If you don't know the person, I will describe the person. I will say it. But if I see, say, instead of hungry, I go fish, share the thing with me. I go tell her, I'm not going to tell her the real amount. I go just say, they give me money. If you say how much, I say money. What happened? We can share among ourselves. Ministers, we can share among ourselves. You can ask me, I can ask you. Now we know our secret. We know the thing. There are some things we gather like this. We talk. We feel the grumble. Say, this church, they know they give. They give Christmas. What did they give you? Some people give. We can talk that among ourselves. But we shall not face them and say, come, Christmas, don't come. What do you give me? We can't say that. That's against ministerial ethics. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. They left here, but they were not part of us. If they were part of us, they will continue with us. To continue with us, to continue what we stand for. Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And we have some people here. Janet Orosu. Sister Buki Orosu. Brother David and Brother Innocent. The Orosus are from Adamawa. Can you come out? Where are you? They are our online members. Bride Online. And Brother David is from Sokoto. Brother Innocent from Mina, Niger State. Come and greet the church. Bride Online. Can we clap our hands now? God bless you. Greet the church.
Shalom, church.
Shalom. Bride Online.
My greeting go to our pastor. Thank you, pastor.
God bless you.
I'll be watching you over Adamawa State. And that is why I'm here. At any time that I step my leg, as in the Lagos here, I must come to this church. And that is why I'm here today.
Amen.
Thank you.
From Adamawa, God bless you.
Shalom, church.
Shalom.
I'm here in Lagos, though it's service that brought me and my daughter. But I don't really have the knowledge of this church. I don't know anything about the church. She has been the fan of the church. She liked watching the station. And when she visited me on Thursday. She told me about the church.
Uh-huh.
And I said, okay, how is their programs like? She now said, okay, let her call my younger ones over there in Yola and let them give us the address and how the way forward. As soon as they forwarded it, that Friday, I made sure she partook in that program.
Clap your hands now. Amen.
I now asked her, if she's satisfied, then I'll take her home. She now said no. She also liked to partake on the Sunday service,
uh-huh,
which I now took her to my uncle's place so that we can easily come back. And today we are here to the glory.
Clap your hands now. Amen.
And church, we are believing God for breakthrough for so many things. And I believe I'll still come back here, if possible with the whole family, to give testimony of what
it must happen
in our life.
Thank you. God bless you. Your life will never remain the same. You have come to Solution Ground. Last bus stop. Yes, sir.
Shalom, Josh. My name is David from Sokoto. I am an online member. I just come across this station when I was discouraged at all the Christian stations.
Huh.
But God Almighty, I don't know how I just come across it. At least for the message that day, I was moved. But unfortunately, I didn't look at the name of the
church,
of the show, of the station. But thank God for again, when I'm starting, looking at it again, I got it again. I watched the program, I thought saw that the Christian station. But later, I didn't see it again. But God again, now let me know that it's another station which I normally watch. And I was surprised assembly. The other day I listened to it, and I promise that I will come and rebaptize. And I thank God, even devil want to stop me, not to be here. I'm coming with my family, but unfortunately, my family cannot come with me because my car got a problem on the road. But I bless the name of the Lord that I am here. And yesterday morning, I was rebaptized.
You are Brother David?
Yes, sir.
Brother David from Sokoto, put your hands together now. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you, Brother David. Brother Innocent.
Shalom, church. Praise the living Jesus.
From Niger State.
I'm Brother Innocent from Niger State. Praise the Lord. I was here before. I came during Prosperity Week in August. And I'm from Deeper Life, but now I've stopped going to Deeper Life.
Our eyes of understanding He has opened up. Okay, you don't do. Let's hear it.
When I was in Deeper Life, there are certain things that I'm not comfortable with, because by the grace of God, I'm from Muslim background. When I became a Christian, I decided to serve God in truth and in spirit. I read in the book where he said, time is come that the true servant of God will worship God in truth and in spirit.
That's right.
So I believe that Christianity is a practical thing. So when I don't see it as a practical, when it is not being done in a practical way, I'm not satisfied.
Uh-huh.
So, I know this is not my church when I was there. Because there are certain things they don't allow. And I know it's scriptural. And they don't allow it, so I'm not comfortable. I was looking for a church where I can serve God well. When I come across Bride through online, I was wondering, looking at the doctrines, all the doctrine, I was following it. I was trying to know some certain things which are not being in Deeper Life. And when I begin to get the understanding, initially I was doubting whether this church is of God. Seeing the ministration, the gift and all, I was doubting it. But later on, God assured me.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Wherever they are, even if they don't have the satellite television, God will send more of chikas to them in the villages there. Where there is no electricity, There will be more chica. Chicas will go there, visit them, and take the message. We appreciate you, sister. Thank you very much. Thank you. We will see you. Thank you very much. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you very much. Let's put our hands together again for our God. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, all of you that have been sponsoring this channel and evangelism generally, you can see the harvest. You can see what you are producing because you are responsible for that. The sponsoring it from January until December, some of you give even 20,000 every month, some 10,000, some 5,000. I think some give 3,000 every month. It's very expensive to have a satellite television on like this. I was talking with a provider in the UK to see how we can also broadcast to Europe on satellite. Praise God. It costs a lot of money. Please join us. Join us. You spend more than that on recharge card in a day, just for a whole month, 5,000 naira, 10,000 naira. It's something you dash out. And yet, that 5,000 naira is what can make a soul to be saved. That 10,000 naira you dash people now, you buy things, you take your wife to Chinese and you spend 20 something thousand naira every week. Just begin to think of what you do with money. And if it can be used in an area for evangelism, imagine how wonderful it will be. It is a ministry. Sponsoring the gospel is a ministry. Join that ministry. Praise God. I'm telling you that it has not been easy even for the church. But what keeps us going? Because sometimes after we have paid, it happened about 3 times towards the end of the year. We finish paying because you pay in advance. If not, then we cut it off. And we have vowed that the station will never go off. It will never go off. Emmanuel TV did not go off. We will not go off. Emmanuel TV is for miracle. Our own TV is for the word. The word. Praise the Lord. So as they need miracles, some people need the word. They need the message. And I'm telling you that this station, just 1 year plus, is already a station of choice. They are already competing with other older stations. And there's a lot of interest now in it. I told Pastor John Paul, everybody came and they were, you know, saying, daddy, this camp was fire, fire. This camp was fire, 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 fire. And I quickly told them, and I called John Paul. I said, people are coming to me, and I'm sitting down there like some anointed man. I said, I know better. The source of what the success of that camp was the intercessors. They paid the price. 6 days, no food, no water. Great sacrifice, a great ministry for somebody to leave his own problem and carry the burden of another person. It's not an easy ministry. You say you gave us 500,000 naira when we were looking for money to redeem this land, Abi. Hey, another person gave his own house and said we should use it and get a loan. His own only property he has, he gave it. And I was saying, I said, don't tell anybody I'm the one. It's not you I gave, it's God. I want to thank, he said, sir, don't thank me. You want me to be in trouble with God? He said, he's the one that gave me the house. So he needed it, I gave it back to him. The people with revelation. So that house is over 300 million naira in the center of Lagos here. So that you'll understand that there are people that are truly doing something. So you ask yourself, what are you yourself doing? Now the same heaven will they go, Abby? Which testimony will you give? At least you can intercede for someone. You have clothes. Give your clothes. Clothe somebody that has no clothes. It's a ministry. Help somebody that is in need. When I say help somebody that is in need, please, I am not telling you to help people who come to you to beg. These days, it is difficult to differentiate professional beggars from people who are really in need. Always have this at the back of your mind, that he walked to you to ask you, he's also walking to other people to ask them. So I prefer, by any other means, you get to know somebody's in need, and without the person asking you, you go to help, than the ones that come to bombard you. Not only me, my mama get, my papa don't die, my mama don't die, my uncles have rejected me. Anybody that tells you that, now he get problem, because orphans normally attract sympathy. So you're orphan, you have been rejected, something is wrong with you. And we have the best social security system in Africa, extended family system. No family leaves his home, because he will become a shame to the family. So if everybody rejects you, it is because you have problems. When you come to me with that, I don't listen to you. I don't listen to that. Praise the Lord. But when you know somebody has a genuine need, please help. It is a ministry. When you do that to a child of God, you are doing it to God. Do that. And don't always do something because you expect a blessing to come from it. Don't serve God so that he will bless you. Don't serve God so that your life will be better. Why not also serve God because he is merciful to you? You see, when you live that type of life, you enjoy life more than those who will serve, because you won't face disappointment. I'm not serving God for what he will do for me. I'm not serving God so that my testimony will change. That's not the reason. My testimony has already changed, because I have him as my father. That's enough for me. The songwriter says, the man of Calvary is enough for me. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. It's enough for me. Listen, church. There is a law that God has released. As you would have meant to do to you, so do it to others. Praise God. Have that at the back of your mind. Anything you do to a human being, the unbelievers call it the law of retribution. Law of karma. See, it must come back to you. No prayer will stop it. Not even if you are born again will stop it. See, Apostle Paul was receiving beating. They beat him. Now, so he beat believers when he was unbeliever. That is why he was suffering that. Why did Peter suffer that? He preached past Peter. It is a law, and he knows it. That's why he was going through. I know what I pay for. There are some things that you are suffering now. I am telling you. There are things that you have sown before. After this suffering, no other, another way again on top. Change your attitude towards life. Change the way you deal with fellow human beings. Don't be happy at the calamity of somebody else. And don't be the cause of somebody weeping and crying and calling your name. Don't do that. Your staff working with you, don't withhold their salary. Somebody that is dependent upon you, don't make the person perpetually dependent so that he becomes a slave and you become a god to that person. Always note that there is a God behind that person that is watching all that you are doing. Stop gossiping. Stop setting traps for one another. Stop doing that. I have learned that since, even before I became a Christian, there is a law of karma. It's not Christians. Unbelievers, they know it. That's what gave birth to things like Red Cross Society, That's why I came back to Rotary Club. That's why I came back to all these philanthropic organizations. They know that I have received something from the society. Let me give back to them. They do that. And more importantly, we should be more revelated than anyone else. This idea of having fellowship by contract, let it stop. You can't even, I can't even pray for you, sister, until I am sure you will give me an offering after it. It's wrong. It's wrong. Now, it's both ways. You, when they come to me for prayer, uncle, don't you know that the Bible said that those who walk by the altar will eat by the altar? Other people will eat from there. You, uncle, will not go chop from you. And so, what happened is that opportunity for you to be blessed too, you miss it. When you come to a minister of God and you are in position, if you don't have, it's a different thing. But your position, and you don't. If you don't take care of your ministers, it is in the Bible. You must. It is a commandment. There are two scriptures I can easily quote for you. Now, Galatians chapter 6, verse 6. And 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Galatians chapter 6, verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word, that is the congregation, communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Does anybody have any other version of the Bible that speak better grammar? Because some people will say they don't understand this one. They don't understand every other one, but this one, they will say they don't understand. Oh yeah. Somebody, any other version here with modern English? Stand up, read it for me. Galatians 6 verse 6. New International or something like that.
Good news. Praise the Lord.
Good news.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Verse 6. Those who are being taught the Christian message should share all the good things they have with their teachers.
Thank you. Say it again. Read it again.
Praise God. Those who are being taught the Christian message should share all the good things they have with their teachers.
Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Let me read it from verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. He said, who goeth a warfare anytime at his own charges? Before you go to battle, the nation will send you there. Somebody must send you. He said, again, who planted a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or say not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Does God take care for oxen? The oxen, where do they use for farm? He said, don't close your mouth, so that as they walk, you're going to chop for the farm. It's wickedness that you will close the mouth of the ox and use it to farm for you from morning to night. After that, you send her out. Nothing particular for that. It's wrong. Verse 10. Or say it all together for our sakes. For our sakes. That parable, that law is for our sake. No doubt. This is written. That he that ploweth should do what? Now, this one, no one answer me now. We should plow in hope. And that he that treasureth in hope should be partaker of his hope. No, it is true now. Now, that's why I say balance it. The truth is this. A true minister is not praying for you so that when you succeed, you will remember him. That is not the reason. But he also knows that if I pray for you, if it's better for you, it will go better for me. It is so. So he plows in hope. it plants in hope. Now verse 11. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Now, Apostle Paul was not asking, like us. We will never, no true minister here, will go and ask you for anything for his personal self. No true minister. But I can tell you this, because I am a giver, I am a receiver. I'm saying it confidently because God has given me wisdom now. Before, if I talk like this, after service, you go see text messages, requests. Daddy, I need accommodation. Daddy, I never chopped since last year. Daddy, school fees. Daddy, house rent. Daddy, because I say I'm a giver. I'm not a mumu giver. I give it wisdom. Because I know I should talk to me now, so if they talk to everybody, we know. Praise God. Praise the Lord. There are professional beggars. Some people, even watching me on air, will send text, send this man of God. So I called one of them one day. I said, you send a text demanding for money. I said, have we met before? He said, no. I said, so how does this sound in your ear? Do you really expect me to respond to this? Now, you don't know me. You saw my phone on the screen. I consider it as every channel you see phone number, and I show you the same. I said, stop that. There should be a relationship. Before you can walk to somebody to ask him for something, there should be relationship. Church, there should be relationship. Don't let anybody that doesn't know you, you don't belong to his group, you don't belong to his house fellowship, you don't belong, nothing. Just because when they go to the same church, they come on. This is a public place. They walk to you with a big Bible on top, Bride of Christ sticker on top. So he's pointing it to you to show that he's coming to you original life, brother. It's not enough. Do you have relationship with him? Have you approached him to greet him? How are you before? So what makes you think that he will respond to you by giving you something? That is how people also relate with God. No relationship with God, and you expect that anytime you have problem, you call upon him, he will answer. What is your relationship with him? How do you relate with him? And that is why some prayers are not answered, because he doesn't know you. It's not enough that you pray in Jesus' name. People who are under that name Jesus have a relationship with him. Not only by mouth. There's a relationship they have. So don't just walk to somebody and say, brother, help me. Brother, I didn't see every time for bride. Brother, I didn't see every time for bride. Hey, me, I know they see you. Me, I know they see you. During my wedding, did you bring gifts? My birthday, did you bring gifts to me? What? Did you send any material? Did you read any book that bless you? You say, brother, this may also bless you. Take. What is the relationship you have that is making you go and stop somebody because you come out from a big car? Hey, brother, they see you. Please, for God's sake, for God's sake. Tell the person, for God's sake, leave me alone. Please, brother, sister, for God's sake, leave me alone. You will see what they will say. Now, so, all these bright people, they know they help people. You, how many people you don't help? I say wisdom, there should be wisdom. So don't, even if you're a billionaire, don't throw God's money away anyhow. You don't cast pearls to swine. They will rubbish it. Help people that will appreciate you. Praise the Lord. In this church, it's very easy to expose them. Amen. Those of you who have money, you are running away from me. Instead of you to come close to me so that I can protect you. If they run away from me. Eh? Where did they run go? There's no protection there. I'm telling you. Where did they run go? They go right, they run, they go, line up there. No protection. No protection. Where there's protection in a ministry like this? The overseer. Feel free, come. I know they look another man thing. I'm not a material person. I'm not. I will protect you from devourers in our midst. How do you know? mention my name inside, they will run, come out. They know. A thief, they run from policeman. I'm robber. If you see anybody where we are black, he will stop, look where we are first before he continue. Because he knows he's wanted. Praise the Lord.